Luke chapter 17. We're going to begin in verse 11, looking at the healing of these 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17. Talking about Jesus Christ traveling here. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God or to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. It's a type of the rotting, decaying flesh. A wonderful type of sin, and we could see an amazing type here. And these folks, when they had that outward showing, this leprosy, they were shunned, they were separated, they were put into colonies and things. They were moved away from the general population. And there was a day when this world looked at sin that way. There was a day when this world looked at wicked people. And I know for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but to get to God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, understand that. But look at some of the most wicked people as vile and wanted to be separate from them, separate from these things. And now it seems like everything is accepted by the world anyway. Everything except Bible-believing Christianity. Everything except the Lord Jesus Christ and truth. But everything else just seems to be accepted. And this disease of the flesh is what these 10 lepers had. And I want to look at about 7 things today. And the first thing I want to see in verse number 12. Let's start back in 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The first thing I want to see is the meeting. The meeting. He met these 10 men on his way somewhere else. His destination were not his villages. His destination was Jerusalem. And looking at the type here, and I always praise God if he gives me anything that I can give you, because a preacher ought to be getting something every now and again from God that'll stir you up and make you want to study your Bible more. But I want you to look at this and realize that a lot of times we read through these things and we gloss over them, and like, well, we'll get to the point here. We'll get to the point. Well, there's a point in every verse in this Bible. So Jesus Christ was heading to Jerusalem, and he sees these 10 lepers, see him, and they go to him and they cry out to him. Guess where he's headed today? He's headed to Jerusalem. Amen. He's still going to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, he's still cleansing sinners. That's a picture of the church age. It's a type of Jesus Christ on his way to the throne of David, saving souls. And you notice this parable here, although for the Jews, and although Jesus' ministry was not but the lost sheep of the house of Israel, it's talking about more than just Israel here. We're looking at this verse, and we can see a type of the second coming. He's on his way to that second coming now, still picking up souls. And then we see not only the meeting, but we see the men. Look at verse 12 again. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. These men were diseased, and they knew it. That's what's the problem with the world is right now. Everybody gets a trophy, kumbaya, oh, we're all victims. And the truth is, we are responsible for our sin and our sin debt until we trust Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's paid that off. But these men were diseased and they knew it. I talk to people all the time, quite frequently, that believe they don't have a problem with God. They believe that they're probably good enough, and they, comparing themselves among themselves, not wise, you know, they believe they're not, well, I'm not like Hitler, I'm not like, let's throw Nancy Pelosi in there. I'm not like Nancy Pelosi, amen. I'm not like Hitler, I'm not like, Charles Manson, or I'm not like, go through the list of tyrannical leaders that murdered their own people and everything else. I'm not like this group, I'm not like that group. And I don't do this, that, or the other. I'm a pretty good person. You know, we've run into a lot of religions that have that theory. You know, the Mormons, they're pretty good family people and all this stuff. And because they think they're that, they don't realize that they have the disease. You know, there are more people out there sick than there are people seeking the physician. Amen? But this meeting, when Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, showing the church age, he's headed to Jerusalem today, and men need to realize they have a disease. And it's a disease of the flesh. It's sin. Every once in a while I talk to somebody, well, I'm not that bad. I think that I'll get to heaven and God will let me in. I think that maybe he'll realize that I've donated money here or done this there and he'll let me in. I think God will realize that my good far outweighs my bad, or hopefully it'll slightly outweigh my bad. Just like the election in Arizona, they're still counting that stuff, amen. They're hoping that something will slightly outweigh something else. I mean, after 4 or 5 days of filling out ballots after the election, well, whatever, you know, amen. But we're seeing, you know, so it's a clean sweep. Well, you know, they're still fighting for control. And that's what men are. They fight for control. They don't want to admit that they've been out of control and they have a disease of the flesh, and the only one that can heal that disease is the one that paid their debt, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So there was a meeting on the way to Jerusalem, and the men were diseased, and they knew it. And now look at verse 13. And they lift up their eyes, and they lift up their voices and said, Master, or Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The meeting, the men, the Master. You know what they did? They humbled themselves before the Lord. And that's one thing the world does not want to do. They want to humble themselves before the Lord. And you talk about snowflakes melting. Good night, they're melting all around us now, amen. It hasn't snowed yet, but the snowflakes are already melting, amen. And they want to talk about their rights. And when they say they're going to lose their rights, they're not really talking about losing rights. They're losing the momentum to try to make what they're doing look normal and acceptable and right. Because what the world wants to do is it wants to, every perverted thought, every perverted person out there wants to push Jesus Christ out, push the Bible out, push anything connected with truth out, and say, this is what's right for me, and you have to accept it. Well, what's right for me is the truth of the Word of God, and that's what I'll accept. I don't have to accept the other stuff. So when they're melting down and crying out that they're losing their rights, they're losing their momentum to change this world into a complete and utter disastrous trash can. I mean, it's close anyway, don't get me wrong. But the devil's going to have his way here for a short period coming up soon after we get out of here. But that's what they want. They won't humble themselves before the Lord. They won't call out to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Matter of fact, it's almost a hate crime to tell them they're sinners. Isn't that something? Now, who would want that? The devil. Because you don't go to the physician until you know you're sick. Oh, that's just normal. Your nose falling off while you're walking down the street, your fingers rotting off, that's normal. It's just a little leprosy. It's not a big deal. Well, this problem with this world is it has a big dose of leprosy. And not only are things falling off, they're cutting things off and trying to put things on that don't belong where they belong and trying to pretend like they are what they're not and all this crazy stuff. They have been taken over by the devil. They've been taken over. Their thoughts and their hearts have been taken over by evil, and they're running the wrong direction. They don't realize. Maybe they do realize, but they're not willing to admit they're sinners. They were not willing to admit they have a disease. These men, these 10 men, were willing to admit they had a disease and call out to the Master. And if you're saved today, it's because you realized and admitted you had a disease and you called out to the Master. You humbled yourself before the Lord and called out to the Lord. The meeting, the men, the Master. Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. We see the mercy. His mercy. He cleansed those lepers. You realize the vast majority of the folks that got leprosy because God gave it to them. Amen. In the Old Testament, that was a result of their inward sin, was an outward showing of the sin. And it was a physical sign to the Jews that something wasn't right. But here he had mercy on them and he healed them, he cleansed them. And why did he do it? Well, look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now we see the mercy of God. Now we see the magnifying of the Lord. With a loud voice, he glorified God. You know what's missing in this world today? A loud voice glorifying God. You know what the churches used to be? A loud voice glorifying God. You know, a lot of the churches today are glorifying the things of the devil and not lifting up Jesus Christ. Or they're perverting a view of Jesus Christ and pretending like he's okay with the perversion. He's okay with going against the Word of God. He's okay with going against God's design for the family and for men and women and how they act and the relationship. And, you know, here this, we've seen it recently, you know, and now we're still seeing it in the snowflakes melting. We know, oh, the misogynism and all this stuff and all, oh, they hate women and I can't believe. And then, you know, black women blaming white women for Trump getting in. And people blaming, oh, it's the men, it's the uneducated white women. And even the uneducated black men. And all this stuff, what they're doing is they're blaming people. What they really hate is they hate God's system. You know what God's system is? Jesus Christ, the husband and the wife in rank. The husband to follow Jesus Christ, the wife be led by the husband. Amen, that's biblical. The problem is nobody wants to be biblical anymore. And now they're looking at, maybe we should educate men to understand that it's a good thing for women to be feminists. Hogwash. It's a good thing for who? The devil? Honestly. Now think about this. If I had my choice, and I do, kind of, at salvation, I lost part of it. I can't choose to go to hell now. Praise the Lord. I already chose to trust Jesus Christ. But men have a choice whether or not to follow Jesus Christ and Him to be in command. And you know what men say? I don't like that. Born-again believers say, I don't like that. I'll follow Him when it's convenient. I'll follow Him when things are inconvenient. I'll cry out to Him when things are wrong, but when things are right, I'm not going to lift up my voice and glorify Him like I'm supposed to. And you say, well, look at these women that won't follow these men. Well, look at the men that won't follow the Lord. There's a chain of command that's broken here. Amen, amen, and amen. How can a woman follow a man in a godly manner if the man's not trying to be a godly man? It's not just, oh, you look at these women and this is the downfall of the country. The downfall of the country is when men decided they didn't want to be men anymore. Amen. You'll get a 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old want to go into military. They'll go into military. They'll lay their life down for the things of this world. But we won't find very many men today, born-again believers, that'll lay their life down for the cause of Jesus Christ. That will lay their life down for their wife. Amen. Amen. That's biblical, by the way. Read Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. What you desire in the flesh should come secondary to what your wife's needs are and what her desires are. I'm not saying things that go against biblical principles. But there's too many people out there, well, this whole theory about, well, he that dies with the most toys wins. Instead of, how about he dies in the will of God, won. You know what God's will is? To trust Jesus Christ. After that, to follow the Spirit's guidance. Amen. Well, this get me kicked off YouTube in about 5 minutes, wouldn't it? We ought to put it on there and just see. But the Master, the mercy, the magnifying of the Lord. You know what magnifies the Lord in a household? Jesus Christ, the husband and the wife. And the husband and wife, it's not a hierarchy like the woman's under the and a doormat to the husband. It's the she is a helpmeet to encourage the husband and pray for the husband and follow the husband as he follows Jesus Christ. So there's all kinds of problems here. It doesn't fall just on a woman. It doesn't fall just on the man, because when you have a marriage, there become one flesh, and the wife has a responsibility to pray for the husband. The husband has a responsibility to pray for the husband. The husband has a responsibility to pray for the wife. The husband has a responsibility to follow Jesus Christ. And if your husband's not following Jesus Christ and you're not praying for him, you're culpable in the mess too. Amen. My wife learned a long time ago when we got married, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen. And a godly woman will realize she can change more through prayer than she ever can through nagging and complaining. And I'm not saying don't ever nag and complain, because it might get his attention. But keep it moderate. But we have the power, the ability to change more things through prayer than we ever do through putting feet on the prayer, although we should put feet on the prayer. A lot of folks will get a little Bible knowledge and they kind of slough off the prayer life, and they just say, well, I know what the Bible says and I'm going forward like a bull in a china cabinet, you know, that whole thing there, just wrecking into things. And the truth is, we need to prayerfully proceed every day. We need to start our Bibles, our days out with the Bible and prayer every day. I've got some encouragement in the last 14, 16 hours when I watched the video of Donald Trump saying that they've come out with this new Bible and it's a King James Bible. Did you all see that? And it's got the Constitution in with it. I think they keep the Constitution out of it. I think we ought to get back to the Bible. We said this nation's going back to the Bible. And he holds up the Bible. He holds up the Bible and says, this is a King James Bible. Now, does he understand what that means? Probably not. But he's doing the right thing there. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. I still say, unequivocally, without any fear of anything, you know, without any doubt in my mind, that Ronald Reagan was the best president this country's had in my lifetime. Maybe, possibly, one of the best ever. I mean, there are videos of him talking about the King James Bible and these new versions, and you don't need to rewrite it. You need to get in there and read the real book. He talks about the AV 1611, talks about the King James Bible. Ronald Reagan's the only president I've ever heard witness. If you haven't heard that, you might want to check it out. In a very Reagan-esque manner, he gets up there and he's talking about what Jesus Christ had done. And then he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't say, well, you know, I think just when I do bad, I try to do better. He said, we need to get right with God. And he said, I'll send a video to you, or we'll get you a video. If you don't have it, you can check it out. He said, a lot of people say, and I'm not doing this because I'm not here to save America. We're here to get souls saved. This place is going to burn up one of these days. But we might as well take advantage of what the Lord's blessed us with. Amen. But I heard him say, hey, you know what? A lot of politicians will say that politicians shouldn't be telling people to read their Bible. But he said that idea of the separation of church and state wasn't so the government couldn't keep you from reading your Bible. It's to keep the government out of your business. That's paraphrased, out of your religious business. Not to keep you out of the government, to keep the government out of your religious business. Amen. The magnifying of the Lord. I mean, here you go. I honestly believe at this point, if you've heard the story about Trump and his grandmother and his great-grandmother and the King James Bible, before he was saved, if he saved, whatever. I don't know what you want to believe about that. He's talking about a lineage of people that read and believed the King James Bible in his family. And then he's talking about putting the Bible back in this country, and he says it's the King James Bible. I'm telling you, the only reason that guy's still walking the face of this earth is not because he got our finances better for a while. It's because he's lifting up this book. that the world hates and attacks so much. Because this book glorifies and magnifies the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like no other book could, would, or ever will. And the reason Ronald Reagan was such a good president is because he lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ and lifted up this book. Instead of changing things, let's get back to what works. Amen. Let's get back to what works. So the magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Praise the Lord, he said, I'm healed. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The magnifying of the Lord, the majesty honored. He fell at Jesus' feet. He fell at Jesus' feet. I said it before, I'll say it again. People don't get saved by adding Jesus to their life. They get saved by humbling themselves, repenting, and turning to Christ for forgiveness. Putting their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. And I still say one of the most dangerous things that people can do is that Bible believers is attack Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, you don't call them. Hey, if you're convicted and you've repented, you'll call on the Lord. Amen. You won't be calling your senator. You won't be writing a letter to the House of Representatives. You'll call on Jesus Christ. His majesty honored. We'll read down through here a little ways again, starting in verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give God, to give glory to God, save this stranger. You know what we're looking at here? Him moving to the Gentiles. These are the things that are starting that move. Notice he said, go shew yourselves to the priests, Jewish. Amen? Then he says, except this stranger, somebody outside of the house of Israel, the only one that turned back to glorify him, the only one that fell at his feet, was not somebody of the house of Israel. It was a Samaritan. And the Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. They were not a people. They were outcasts. They were outsiders. They were nobody. They were dogs. They were godless heathen. And they recognized the deity of Christ and fell at his feet. There's a lot more in this book than we read a lot of times. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, second coming, cries out, the 10 men cry out to him. One of them, after he's healed and after he's cleansed, glorifies him. That's probably about right. Maybe not even that high anymore. 10% of saved people glorifying God. That's probably a little high now. But there's 10% of the cleansed that actually cried out and glorified God and fell at Jesus' feet, thanking him, appreciating him. Back in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. We see the power. They had this disease of the flesh. There was nothing anybody at that time could do about any of it. Except pray for them, excommunicate them, put them in a certain place, stay away from them. But the power of God healed them. What's my point? Well, we look at all the people in this world, and we look at the LGBTQRSDVWXYZ crowd. We look at the any sin you can think of. The Jew-hating crowd out there, the anti-Semitic rhetoric-driven pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas, all this stuff, and you look at that disease and you say that disease is incurable, but not with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. They're curable. They're cleansable. You know how I know? He cleansed me. Amen? If you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world, whosoever, the power. And he'll do it. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. The praise, he was praising God, 17 through 18. And Jesus answering said, we're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The power, the praise. Now we see the proud. You know what the proud are doing? They were just as cleansed as the other ones. But if you look at Israel and what they're doing, and you look at what a lot of religious folks do, in their mind they deserve it. There was one that realized he didn't deserve it. Amen? He wasn't religious. He had a relationship now at the feet of Jesus Christ. He realized he didn't deserve that healing. He didn't walk off saying, and you know, I understand, I believe the Bible. I understand that Israel's the apple of God's eye. I understand that they're the chosen people, and I understand there's going to be a time of tribulation, like great tribulation, 3.5 years of hell on this earth, where God's going to get a hold of them and let them go through some things to turn back to Him. I understand there's a remnant going to be saved. I understand Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on a literal physical throne of David. I understand there's going to be a regenerated earth, and it's going to be the King of Kings sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. I understand all that, but they're walking around now saying, we're winning this because of God, because we're God's people, and we're doing so good. And the truth is, it's nothing but the mercy of God that Israel still exists and the fact that He can't cross His Word. He gave His Word to Abraham. He gave His Word in the Old Testament. And God is the God of His Word. He's not a man that He should lie. And it's not because Israel's so great. And if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, it's not because you're so great. It's because God's so great. But the power and the praise and then the proud refuse to bow down at Jesus' feet. They refused to turn back. They were probably walking a whole long... There were probably 9 Jews, amen? 9 Jews walking down there, and they're thinking, we're God's people, and we're so good, He's going to fix this, and then Jesus Christ fixes it. They used that prophet over there to do it. But one of them turned back and said, praise the Lord, and ditched his pride. Probably didn't have much anyway because he was a Samaritan. Meeting on his way to the second coming, on his way to Jerusalem. Why would Jesus Christ go to Jerusalem anyway? He was born to be king, Isaiah 9:6. You think the devil stopped that? No. Things have been postponed a little bit, but he's still headed to Jerusalem. He's still headed to Jerusalem. You know what he's still looking for? Lepers that'll cry out to Him. Lepers, sin-filled, wicked people that'll cry out to Him. I've seen them do it. I've seen them on the street. I've seen them in the prison. I've seen them bow their head and cry out to Jesus Christ and get saved, get born again. I've seen the lepers cry out. And I've seen some of them that turn back to Jesus afterwards and glorify Him. I got a letter from a prisoner that was in, it's been 10 years ago, 15, it's been a long time, 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, that sent me a letter that said he was preaching up in Chicago. You know what he did? He got cleansed of his leprosy, and he praised the Lord, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and now he's walking with Him. The other ones walked on without the Lord after they were cleansed. Independent Fundamental Baptist, right? But they walked on without the Lord after they were cleansed because they didn't really appreciate what He'd done for them. I'm afraid we're more like the 9 a lot of times and don't really appreciate what the Lord's done. He didn't just do it to give you eternal life. He did it so you'd magnify the Lord with a loud voice, glorified God, and honor His majesty. Honor Him. It's all about Him. I was kind of hard on you guys during this coming to the election thing and this last year or so about politics. But I don't want you all, we don't want to get caught up in this worldly stuff so much that we start worshiping the things of this world and forget the majesty of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, no matter who's in office, he's still worthy. Jesus Christ is still God. Jesus Christ is still good. Jesus Christ is still the only reason we're going to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only reason that the devil can't pluck us out of the Father's hand. The blood of Jesus Christ, the will of the Father, to send his only begotten Son, has nothing to do with Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Donald Trump or the United States of America. It has everything to do with the death, burial, and resurrection and blood atonement of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if the United States never existed, we'd still be headed to heaven if we got saved. We trusted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But without Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the United States could have never existed. Amen. We just have to get things in perspective and try to keep them there until he calls us out. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Magnify the Lord. He honored the majesty of the Lord. And because of that, God moved in a mighty way toward the Gentiles. I believe, I don't know that this is going to happen. I'm not one of those folks that say the revival is not possible at all. I don't think we're going to see a great worldwide or nationwide revival per se, a true one. We're going to see a lot of weird stuff that on the surface might look like some attempt at revival. But if people would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, honor the Word of God, and honor the majesty of Jesus Christ, if this nation as a whole would do that, who knows what God would do? What's he looking for? People love him and honor him and glorify him. And it's not in we love a politician. It's in we love the Lord. Pray for the administration that's in there, that they get saved, leave, and never come back in there. And the ones that are coming in there. Not that they get the national debt wiped out. I hope they do. That they get saved and lift up Jesus Christ and the Bible. I believe personally, you don't have to believe this, you can say I'm nuts. Still screwed on the right bolt. I believe that Donald Trump's a lost version of Ronald Reagan. That's what I believe. He might be saved, I don't know. But I believe Ronald Reagan, the reason God was so merciful to this nation, the reason Ronald Reagan walked away from that assassination, and probably the reason he was attempted to be assassinated, is because he loved the Lord and believed the book. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe we've had other saved presidents in there that didn't love the Lord and believe the book so much. Slick Willie, I believe, was probably saved. But look what God does with a man that loves him and lifts him up and glorifies him. And look what God, think what God would do with us as a church. Think what God would do with you if you were that 10% out of those lepers. Not just once in a while, but what if we were all the time? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If not for the death, burial, and resurrection and the blood of Jesus Christ, if not for the Father and his will, give his only begotten Son, we'd be in trouble. The meeting, the men, the master, the mercy, the magnifying of the Lord, the majesty honored, the moving toward the Gentiles. Here we are in that period, and he's still headed to Jerusalem. But he's coming back, and he's coming back hopefully soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Which leper will you be? Which cleansed leper would you be if he come back today? Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to unwrap this garbage of the world from our hearts and our minds and get focused on you.